So we found that these two inclusion levels, that is 0.1 and 0.3% of this plant extract, improved amino acid digestibility in broiler chickens, and up to 10% of increase in digestibility of amino acid was recorded.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Anatox, partnering with the world's food producers to develop and deliver innovative programs to efficiently produce safer food. BASF provides sustainable, high-performing ingredients that enhance the quality and productivity of your poultry feed. Kerry, proven on the farm, trusted on the plate. Kerry is where technology is made. The Poultry Science Association is dedicated to advancing poultry science worldwide. Learn more at poultryscience.org.
Welcome to another episode of the Poultry Nutrition Black Belt Podcast. I'm your host today, Kelly Walmsley, and I'm joined by Dr. Deborah Adewale. Hey, Deborah, how are you doing?
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, we're very happy to have you. And so you're an assistant professor in the Department of Animal and Poultry Science at the University of Saskatchewan, right? And so you are, you research in non-ruminant nutrition and metabolism, right?
Yes.
Well, thank you, Deborah, for joining us today. We're really excited to find out what you've been up to here lately. And I guess just first, do you mind to just give us a little bit of information about your role as a professor at University of Saskatchewan?
Thank you very much, Kelly. I'm very happy to be here. And good afternoon, everyone. I am an assistant professor in non-ruminant nutrition and metabolism in the Department of Animal and Poultry Science, University of Saskatchewan. My research involves the use of nutrition to improve animal gut health in the absence of antibiotics and in the presence of stress, such as heat stress or immunological stress. I also work on feed ingredient evaluations and enrichment of animal products with functional substances, such as polyunsaturated fatty acids and polyphenols. Before my current position, I have worked as an industry research chair in sustainable antibiotic reduction in poultry production at Dalhousie University.
So I can see a great link, you know, kind of link into from your previous role in industry and then your current role and what you're researching. So I guess, was that one of the exciting things that kind of brought you into academia?
Yeah. So, my first position, my first faculty position is to really address antibiotic alternatives. So in that role, I was to develop sustainable alternatives to antibiotics, because at that time, Canada was moving away from the use of medically important antibiotics in poultry production. And since then, I have conducted a lot of research trying to seek for alternative products that can be used to manage gut health in the absence of antibiotics.
So no silver bullet, right? Unfortunately.
No.
As we all know, but there are a lot of different types of additives and products and that are available. And so I guess in just real quick, I think it's funny being the one thing that just kind of, you know, brought up to me was that you mentioned you're doing work with heat stress. And as somebody who lives in Mississippi and then you're in Canada, it's kind of hard to imagine that you have much of a heat stress. But I know it does get hot in Canada, right?
Yeah.
Cold also gets hot.
Gets hot. Yes.
But yeah, so I thought that was funny. But Deborah, tell me a little bit, I guess, about maybe some of your most recent work or maybe some of your most interesting findings that your lab has looked at in that area of antibiotic, strategies, antibiotic alternative strategies.
Thank you very much, Kelly. I'll be happy to discuss that. So in my lab, our search for antibiotic alternatives has focused more on disease prevention rather than growth promotion. So we have investigated measures that look at the ability of these products to strengthen the animal's immune system, bolster their antioxidant capacity, build up bacterial communities and their functionality, reinforce gut integrity, and enhance nutrient utilization. So we have worked on a variety of products, including plant extract, fruit byproducts, essential oils, organic acids, and probiotics. We have also looked at different strategies to deliver these products. So we have looked at in feed, in water, and in ovo delivery methods for probiotics and essential oils. We have also looked at different feeding strategies, such as high energy density and low energy density diet, and their effect on animal gut health in the presence or absence of antibiotics. So one of the most recent work that I've done is the use of plant extract, an extract from a plant called the red dogwood plant. So red dogwood plant is a plant that is commonly found in Canada, especially in wetland. It grows naturally, and traditionally, this plant has been used to cure skin infections or diarrhea, so because it contains a lot of phenolic compounds. So because of that, we thought the extract from this plant could increase animal gut health and improve functionality. So we have looked at the extract from this plant at different inclusion levels, and we have conducted 4 trials on this extract. So I'll be happy to discuss the results from this study. So my first work on this plant was when I was doing my postdoctoral fellowship at the University of Manitoba. I was looking at 2 inclusion levels of this plant extract and the effect on growth performance, amino acid digestibility, and the functionality of the gut, of the small intestine, in terms of nutrient absorption. So we found that these 2 inclusion levels, that is 0.1 and 0.3% of this plant extract, improved amino acid digestibility in broiler chickens, and up to 10% of increase in digestibility of amino acid was recorded. And this is irrespective of whether these amino acids are essential or not essential, compared to the control, we found significant improvement. And not only that, we found significant improvement in some other digestibility of some other components, such as fat and protein. And in addition to that, we also found significant improvement in the ability of the small intestine, particularly the jejunum, to absorb nutrients, because we found up to 33% increase in the nutrient absorptive capacity in the jejunum. And as it is well known that the jejunum is the longest part of the small intestine, and it is the region where most digestion and absorption takes place. So I think it's a big deal for improvement in nutrient utilization.
Absolutely. Can you give me a little bit of background, I guess, thinking about the red dogwood tree? I've seen some pictures of it, and it's beautiful too. Yeah. I actually wanted to plant some in my yard, and I didn't know that some of those health benefits about it and healing properties. So now I'm definitely going to, I think, plant some in my yard, but if I can get it to live in Mississippi. But
yeah, that would be interesting. I'm also trying to plant some as well. The dogwood plants grows naturally in many provinces in Canada, in Manitoba, in Saskatchewan, and in other provinces. I also understand that it grows in some parts of the United States as well, particularly in wetland areas. So it's pretty common plant, so this plant was obtained from a company in Manitoba that specializes in extracting the components, the polyphenols, from these plants, and using the spray dried method, this has been extracted, and the polyphenols in this plant are those that have been used even in human nutrition and has resulted in reduction in cardiovascular diseases and beneficial to human health as well. So there's a lot of research going on with this extract, not only in poultry, but also in other animal species, including swine, cattle, and other animal species.
Sure. So how long has this, I guess, in the time point of when it's kind of been coming about in the research time? And because you mentioned working on it, your first study as when you were a postdoc. So Do you know how long kind of it's been the research? How long does it go between kind of first starting in poultry and then up until this point?
So my study when I was doing my postdoc was the first study with poultry. At that time, there had been a few study with swine, with cattle. Yeah, but that was the first study with poultry. And after that, when I started my position as an assistant professor, I continued with this research, and I've conducted 3 more trials with this extract. And I've also done some work with the potential, looking at the potential of this extract to combat heat stress and on other type of stress in broiler chickens.
With science-led solutions that are sustainable, proven, and effective, BASF helps you tackle the challenges of poultry nutrition. We offer high-quality feed ingredients that enable a more sustainable production and help you achieve your animal performance targets. We call it the science of sustainable feed that succeeds.
Do you have, I guess, for the advancements that you've made with the different trials, what kind of big steps have you come along in to kind of establish in either, you know, maybe narrowing down the inclusion or a specific regimen in the inclusion step up, or, you know, or with a challenge model or not, or, you know, what do you have to tell us on kind of where you kind of gone in it?
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, so the first study I conducted, we used 0.1 and 0.3% of dogwood extract. But the subsequent studies that I conducted, because they were challenge studies, so I challenged the animals with bacteria LPS, with live salmonella. So I increased the inclusion level to 0.3 and 0.5%. And in all these studies, what we have seen is that the 0.3% is optimal. And at 0.5% inclusion level, there was no better result compared to the 0.3. So as we speak now, the extract has actually been registered with Health Canada as a veterinary health product for chickens. So as a result of the research that we have conducted on this extract.
Yeah, neat. And so this is, again, this adding into the feed, and it's then are you, I guess, with thinking, you said better with that 0.4% inclusion. So when you're talking about in a challenge study and thinking about it being, performing better, are you seeing, are there specific sample methods, like from an immunological standpoint, that you're saying, oh yes, it's better in here? Mm-hmm. But are you also picking it up from some of the production metrics and feed conversion ratio, or maybe mortality or live weight gain?
Yeah. Thank you very much. So most of our studies, we have not been looking at, we have not been seeing significant effect on growth performance, but we have seen significant effect in the immune response of the animals. And we have seen similar growth performance parameter as the antibiotics that we are testing. So this product has performed in a similar capacity with the antibiotics. And in terms of how we determine whether it's better or not, we have seen improvement in some white blood cells in the plasma and in the serum of chickens, which are considered as having immune function in the immune system. We saw increase in the concentration of leukocytes and monocytes. When the chickens were challenged with Salmonella enteritidis, we saw that inclusion of 0.3% of this extract resulted in the concentration of leukocytes and monocytes, which helped the chickens to boost their immune system. We also found a significant increase in the population of a particular bacteria called Lactobacillus. So in all our trials, we have consistently found significant increase in this among this group of bacteria, Lactobacillus, which are regarded as bacteria that are beneficial to animal health. They help to improve their immune system. They help to maintain intestinal integrity. So even in swine study, it has been consistently reported that there is increase in the population of Lactobacillus.
have you, the studies that you've done, have they been more in layers?
No, they have been in broiler chickens.
Okay, all of them have been in broilers.
Yeah, they have been in broiler chickens, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And so I guess just we're just to kind of wrap things up and tie up with a bow, what are your next steps and kind of where do you think you need to go is anyone using this commercially now that you know of?
Yeah, so what I know is that the product has been registered as a veterinary health product and at the inclusion level of 0.3%. And so one limitation of the veterinary health product is that it cannot be included in feed, but it can be included in drinking water. So next step is to get it registered to be included in the feed. And also we are planning more work with layers, with laying hens in terms of boosting their health, their antioxidant capacity. And we are also looking at capacity of laying hens to deposit some polyphenols in the eggs as a result of this feeding this polyphenolic substance. So this is the next step that we are looking at with layers.
That's pretty exciting. Well, thank you so much, Deborah. It was really nice chatting with you. And you know, now I'm gonna go run out and get a red dogwood tree to go in my backyard. See if it'll go.
Yeah.
Multiple reasons to do that now. But thank you so much for your time. And that's another episode of the Poultry Nutrition Black Belt Podcast. Thanks for joining us, and Deborah, I'll see you again soon.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Bye.